Good morning, Besorot Tovot, still in Parshat Tazria, and obviously connecting it, Tazria and Metzora. We have three types of Tzarat, the Tzarat of the Bait, which is actually the last one mentioned, the Tzarat of the clothes, which is the second Tzarat that's mentioned, and the Tzarat of the body, which is most of this parasha, before we go on to Begadim towards the end of the parasha. Chazal tell us that in reality, the three are connected with each other, and that if a person was not behaving in the way that they should behave, they would get Tzarat HaBayit. There would be various molds in his house, which would either initially make him clean it up a bit, and the other would be to actually rebuild. Then we have, if we do not rectify our actions, we would get Tzarat HaBeged. It would hit our clothes. And if we still don't get the message, we would have Tzarat of the Guf, of the body. There is a progressive message being sent to us, the expectation being that we're listening and watching and understanding what's going on in our lives and understanding certain conclusions that we would have to come to. First, it hits us on the outside in our houses, then on our clothes, and then on our bodies. I've said many, many times, it's not for us to give reasons why things happen and say this is the definitive reason why something happens. Because we're thinking human beings, and as we said that Nativot Shalom in Parashat Vayikra, God is always talking to us, so to try and understand what he could be saying to us. But obviously the isolation elements of Tzarat were very, very applicable during the time of Corona. I felt, you know, and again, it's not necessarily saying this is the reason, but I felt that I was thrown out of shul. I was told to cover my face, to stay at home, to not mix with people. I was given a hora'ah where I had to isolate. The question then was, what do I do in my isolation? I think the isolation, as far as a building progressive process, would have been easier without the lachas of having to try and make a living during that time. And the various worries of running a school as we did during that time. But the idea being that isolation would make us come to certain conclusions of how to behave. And I remember, at least not in these recordings, because I've only been doing them during the war, but I remember saying to students at the time, that first Shabbat, where in our courtyard, minyan, we were able to have a Sefer Torah after 2 or 3 weeks without a Sefer Torah. What an appreciation for a Sefer Torah we have. And the question is now, 3-4 years later, whether we've lost that appreciation, the appreciation for shul that we miss so much, the appreciation for chevra that some people miss so much, whether we've simply gone back to where we were, or maybe we needed a stronger message. And now we have a stronger message, which is the reasons for and why, each to their own. We don't really know why things happen. But b'chol zot, we are being spoken to again. And therefore, the question is are we ever going to listen? Are we ever going to understand that there is more going on than what meets the eye, than what is reported in the news? My Rebbe, Rabbi Bernstein, once told me, quoting us, he was quoting us, not me, he was quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Pnei Hadok and Pnei Akelev, that the face of the generation is like the face of a dog. He said, what does that mean? The face of a generation is like the face of a dog. And anyone with pet dogs should not take offense. But he quoted a Reb Chaim, which I've never seen on the inside, but I again, smocha on Rabbi Bernstein. He said that Reb Chaim says that what does a dog do if you take a stick and you hit the dog on the face, which again, one shouldn't do. So the dog, who would he jump at? Will he jump at the stick? Or will he jump at the person holding the stick. The stick is an inanimate object. There is no power in the stick. But the dog will invariably jump at the stick. And Reb Chaim said as follows, that is exactly Pnei Hador, Pnei HaKelev. The generation will be a generation that always jumps at the stick. We are engulfed by so many serious issues. And I remember thinking, ridiculously, during Corona, you know, at least with Bitachon, we knew what we were doing. Now with Corona, we haven't got an idea what to do. And now back in Bitachon, we also don't know what we're doing. It was just a stark reminder. There are micro lessons, macro lessons. But I feel that we are constantly jumping at the stick. With Corona, we were, correctly so, searching and searching and searching for a vaccine and so on and so forth for a cure. And with the war, searching and searching and searching how to defend and how to defend. But the question is, above and beyond that, which of course you have to do, above and beyond that, what else should we be doing? Things are happening in the world, and we're about to do this on Seder. We're about to experience this on Seder. That there's a Seder, that something's going on, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on all the time. And he's in control all the time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can start things and finish things, and he can wipe out our enemies with an earthquake in 5 minutes. Mamash, he can bring an earthquake to Iran, and all over, it's finished. You cut the head off the chicken, everyone else will fall apart. Iran is the problem, right? Everyone else are the little poodles of Iran. And they do what Iran wants. For most of the time, they simply are doing what Iran wants. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu could finish off Iran in 1 minute. He could create a revolution in Iran, either way. But it's not finishing, and the world is slowly declining. So many different things are building up simultaneously. The Ukraine has been building up. Putin, the real Putin, the not-real Putin, what does it matter? Whoever is pulling the strings in Russia, or so-called pulling the strings in Russia, China. And at the same time, what's going on with Iran, what's going on in Gaza, which is, honestly, tiny compared to what it could turn out to be. Very big for us, and big tragedies for us, but tiny from a world perspective. What is going on? Something is going on. Now, David Milstein can't deal with something that's going on. I'm not involved. I don't have keshe with even the mayor, or even the local mayor. I don't have keshe with anyone. I have no power, no ability to control, to manipulate, to direct, to change anything in that area. I do my hishtadlut as a citizen of Israel. I pay my taxes. My children serve in the army. I do what I can do. But my from the aspect of dealing with the world issues of this latest crisis, my ability is minimal. But that's my ability in relationship to macro physical events that are taking place in the world. But on an individual level, what can I do? So with Corona, there were things that I could do when I went back to shul to try and understand that what shul is. When you go back to a social reality, when you are allowed to take the mask off your face, maybe to learn to learn how to use your mouth properly, properly and directly, and tikkun. And there are things that we, again, have to learn how to do on an Am Yisrael level, because the stakes keep getting higher. We have Sarat HaBayit, and if you don't listen to Sarat HaBayit, you get to Sarat HaBegadim, and if you don't listen to Sarat HaBegadim, you get to Sarat HaGuf. So we had Corona, and whatever Corona came to teach us, we either learned or we didn't learn, we either internalized or we didn't internalize, and now we have war. And although this has become, in Israel, our routine, it's not our routine. And it's not only in Israel. This has been a shock for Jews around the world. We go to Yedvavne every year, and we try and explain what Polish neighbors did to their Jewish neighbors. And you see girls looking at you as if to say, yeah, this can't happen nowadays. And now I don't know. I don't think they'll say the same thing anymore. People in Teaneck won't say the same thing anymore. People in England won't say the same thing anymore. Bichlal. The fact is that there are realities out there today that the world has been exposed. What the world really thinks of us has been exposed. The anti-Semitism that was the undercurrent of the Evian Conference in 1938, when not a finger in the world was lifted to help the Jewish people except for England helping Jewish kids. We thought that had gone. We thought we did liberal and accepting times. And the liberalism of the world is just another mask of anti-Semitism. Nothing has changed. And we have not only found our enemies in Gaza, which we knew we had. We've not only found our enemies in Lebanon, which we knew we had. We've not only hearing our enemies in Iran, which we knew we had. We have discovered Norak et Esav, Ela et Achi et Esav, the brother, the one who was meant to be our brother. And I'm not talking about countries that are drenched in anti-Semitism of Eastern Europe. I'm talking about the countries of England, of France, of America. And I'm not just talking about the Arabs in those countries, because it's not just the Arabs in the country. We have to forget the apologetics. Our Tzaraat has moved up a level. And when these things move up a level, we don't know why. We don't know the reason why. We can say there was no Achdut before October the 7th and so on and so forth. But we know one thing. We know that we're not doing something right. We're doing something that needs our attention. And we don't want to get to Tzaraat HaGuf. We don't want to get to this third and highest level where we're simply not listening. And so we are upgraded in our punishment in order to try and get our attention. We have to pay attention. We have to try and pay attention. In the time of Torah, when the Torah was given, the assumption is that if a person got Tzaraat in the butt, they didn't listen. Tzaraat in the gadin, they didn't listen. Tzaraat in the guf, eventually they would listen. They would listen. They had an advantage over us. They had Moshe Rabbeinu. And the generations after, they had other Nevi'im telling them what was going on and what was happening. We don't have anyone telling us, but we do know one thing. The things aren't what they should be. And that is something that is incredibly important for us as a people to work out, and us as a nation to work out. In connection to what I said yesterday, Bedikat Chametz is to look out for that Chametz. Not just be involved in spring cleaning, the Jewish spring cleaning, because a lot of the places we clean in the days and weeks leading up to Pesach are not, they don't have chametz there at all, and according to the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch, you probably don't need to clean there at all. But we're cleaning everywhere. So that cleaning everywhere has to happen in our personage as well. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we won't be upgraded to a third level of Tzaraat. We will start to get the message that something is wrong. Our task is harder because we don't know definitively what is wrong. You know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of argument in Israel and there's a lot of emotion in Israel in the argument. But the emotion and the argument is based on the fact that people care. The people care. You know, the anger and the shouting of the Rasha on the Seder night says on the one hand that he has religious problems, but on the other hand, it says he cares. When people are angry with God, it means that they think there is a God, but they're angry. It's much more positive than She'eino Yode Lishol, than the passive human being who is involved in anything. And for all the argumentation that we have in Israel, and all the heated debate that we have in Israel, the fundamental common denominator is that everyone cares. And that's really important. So I don't know why things are happening, but I do know that this upgrade after Corona into war is like a second Tzaraat. It's an amber light that is flashing before we get a red light. And I think that we have to pay attention. Besorot Tovot, have a good day.